searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all.
For each one of you that joins in with us each and every week. And we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we'll be reading from two books. The first book will be Obadiah, which is a one book. And the second one will be Jonah. We'll be reading chapter 1 through chapter 4. And following that, we will begin answering review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or making a comment, press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue. And your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to zero. An excellent way to do this is simply muting your phone when you're not speaking and unmuting your phone when you want to speak. Okay, we're going to have a small prayer and we're going to continue on with our service. Good Father God, I want to say thank you for this day and all the past days that you've allowed us to be part of. I want to ask that you allow us to be able to read these verses and these books that we'll be reading tonight, and that we'll be able to come to some kind of grip as to what the message or the meaning is for each individual or us collectively. Lord, that's all we're going to say And in your name, Jesus, we pray. I pray. Amen. I apologize, everyone. So now we will get on with the reading of Obadiah and Jonah, and I'll see you on the other side.
Obadiah. This is the vision that the Sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, "Get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom." The Lord says, "I will cut you down to size among the nations, Edom. You will be small and despised. You are proud because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up here?" you asked boastfully. Don't fool yourselves. Though you soar as high as eagles and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you crashing down. I, the Lord, have spoken. If thieves came at night and robbed you, they would not take everything. Those who harvest grapes always leave a few for the poor. But your enemies will wipe you out completely. Every nook and cranny of Edom will be searched and looted. Every treasure will be found and taken. All your allies will turn against you. They will help to chase you from your land. They will promise you peace while plotting your destruction. Your trusted friends will set traps for you, and you won't even know about it. At that time, not a single wise person will be left in the whole land of Edom, says the Lord. For on the mountains of Edom I will destroy everyone who has wisdom and understanding. The mightiest warriors of Teman will be terrified, and everyone on the mountains of Edom will be cut down in the slaughter. And why? Because of the violence you did to your close relatives in Israel. Now you will be destroyed completely and filled with shame forever. For you deserted your relatives in Israel during their time of greatest need. You stood aloof, refusing to lift a finger to help when foreign invaders carried off their wealth and cast lots to divide up Jerusalem. You acted as though you were one of Israel's enemies. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. You shouldn't have rejoiced because they were suffering such misfortune. You shouldn't have crowed over them as they suffered these disasters. You shouldn't have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You shouldn't have gloated over the destruction of your relatives, looting their homes and making yourselves rich at their expense. You shouldn't have stood at the crossroads, killing those who tried to escape. You shouldn't have captured the survivors, handing them over to their enemies in that terrible time of trouble. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge the godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history as though you had never even existed. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place. And the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. At that time, Israel will be a raging fire, and Edom a field of dry stubble. The fire will roar across the field, devouring everything and leaving no survivors in Edom. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then my people living in the Negev will occupy the mountains of Edom. Those living in the foothills of Judah will possess the Philistine plains and take over the fields of Ephraim and Samaria. And the people of Benjamin will occupy the land of Gilead. The exiles of Israel will return to their land and occupy the Phoenician coast as far north as Zarephath. The captives from Jerusalem exiled in the north will return to their homeland and resettle the villages of the Negev. Deliverers will go up to Mount Zion in Jerusalem to rule over the mountains of Edom, and the Lord himself will be king. Jonah, chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went down to the seacoast, to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping that by going away to the west he could escape from the Lord. But as the ship was sailing along, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea. causing a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will have mercy on us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, Jonah lost the toss. "What have you done to bring this awful storm down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Then he told them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified when they heard this. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again, for I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors tried even harder to row the boat ashore, but the stormy sea was too violent for them and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "O Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death because it isn't our fault. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the world of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see your holy temple? I sank beneath the waves, and death was very near. The waters closed in around me, and seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was locked out of life and imprisoned in the land of the dead. But you, O Lord my God, have snatched me from the yawning jaws of death. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach, and it did. Chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they decided to go without food and wear sackcloth to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in sackcloth and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals, may eat or drink anything at all. Everyone is required to wear sackcloth and pray earnestly to God. Everyone must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will have pity on us and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, he had mercy on them and didn't carry out the destruction he had threatened. Chapter 4. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for destroying these people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive because nothing I predicted is going to happen. The Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also prepared a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there, and a plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?
All right. Good evening, everyone. Okay. Hello? Am I? Yeah. Okay.
Here you go. We're here, Eric.
Be right here, Eric.
We're here.
Thank you, my brother and sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't hear anybody. Thank you. All right. All right. Now, just a little brief. I'm not going to go real deep. We'll just get a little bit of the statistics before we get started. But is there anything? Oh, I want to say something. Obadiah, I was checking into some, just doing some things, trying to find out some things about him, and I found out that, which it tells us in our statistics, that he was, I saw it earlier, I can't even, anyway, I got notes on it, that he was an Edomite, and also he was a worshiper of Yahweh, a servant of God, of Yahweh, however you want to word it. But then there was something I read where they said that there were 13 different Obadiahs in the Old Testament. So now it didn't say where I was reading this that he was a particular Obadiah that wrote this. So with that exegesis and eisegesis, I didn't want to speculate. So anyway, what are we going to do is, I just wanted to just, this, anyway, the setting was, it was in, Edom harassed the Jews prior, you know, at an earlier time, and God was going to make sure that all those things that they did, they was going to have to answer for, but he was going to bring everything back to life, like it should. He's going to make everything back right. So we're going to get on and get started and answer these questions. And I apologize if it sounds like I'm rushing. I'm not. Just, we're going to get started. First question would be, why did the Lord say he would cut them down to size among the nations?
Chapter 1, 2 through 4.
Okay. Okay, we're good. Go ahead.
This is the vision that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. Edom's judgment announced, We have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, Get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom. The Lord says to Edom, I will cut you down in size among the nations. You will be greatly despise. Did I say four?
Okay. Two through four.
Okay. I read verse one. You have been deceived by your own pride because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us up there, up here? You have spoke fully, but even if you soar as high as an eagle and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. I agree. Thank you. Do anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
No, sir.
All right. I thank you. And, well, we'll do that later. Question two, please. What did the Lord say they should not have done when their relatives were exiled to distant lands?
Is that 112?
Go ahead.
Okay. And 112 says, you should not have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. You should not have rejoiced when the people of Judah suffered such misfortune.
And that is correct. And I had another answer, but that was yours.
I think it went down.
I think it went further, too.
Okay. 13, it says that. 14.
Yeah,
I went to
14.
Yeah.
12 to 14 is what I had.
Yeah,
12
to 14.
Yeah, he said the distance, the edge down the distance, man. I didn't know if it was just 12 or 14.
Okay, all the way down it says you should not have. So, yeah,
right.
I would totally
right.
agree with you. Yeah, 12 through 14. Yeah, you should not have. See, that's why I like when y'all add your little ingredients to this recipe so we can make one little decent meal. We can all eat this. Thank you. Next question is, three. Will Edom be destroyed, and if so, how?
That's 1:15 and 16.
I agree.
It says, the day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and your surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, all you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history. Amen.
Amen. I agree. Thank you.
Deacon Eric, I took it all the way to 18.
Okay, well, let's see the duration. Can we, somebody, we can, okay, go ahead, so mother overall, mother, yeah, okay.
Okay. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place, and the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. The people of Israel will be a raging fire, and Edom a field of dry stubble. The descendants of Joseph will be a flame roaring across the field, destroying everything. There will be no survivors in Edom. I, the Lord, will have spoken. Then, let's see. Where did I take it to?
Yeah, that's the 18.
That was 18. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That Israel's restoration. Yeah, and they saw how. And they saying how they restored. Okay. Yes, thank you. I would add, I can incorporate that 17 and 18.
Okay.
with that? Yeah. All righty. Ah. Israel destroyed. Kingdom destroyed, Israel restored. Okay. All right. Now, when we get to Jonah, I have a little thing I might need. We might have some different questions. I have answers to two sets of questions because I sent in two sets of questions. So I'm going to see if we're on the same page. This next question would be number four. What angered the Lord for him to want to break up the ship Jonah escaped to and tried to get to Tarshish?
I got chapter 1, verse 3 by itself.
Okay, you have 3? Okay.
Oh, is that chapter 1, verse
3. I mean, anybody have anything else? Is that it?
I have 1 through 3.
Okay. Anybody anything else?
Yeah. I just have 1 through 3.
Okay. Say that again, please. Somebody say something.
Yeah,
okay.
I just had 3. But
okay. I had 1 through 3 as well. Well, let's hear it. Brother Welch from 1 through 3. If you would, please.
That Castle One from Green Jones. Okay.
Pardon?
Yes, sir. 1 second here. Go over to Jonah here.
Green Jones.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, 3, and it reads as follows. Well, Jonah got up and went to the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for
Tarshish.
He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish.
Okay. Now, Sister Welch,
yes.
Do we have yours?
I just have 1 through 3. I said the Lord gave this message to Jonah. To Jonah, son of Amittai. He says, get up and go
to
the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. And then I added, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction.
I agree with you. I have 1 through 3 as well.
Okay.
Three is the conclusion of it, but one tells us from the beginning of the question what angered him. Okay. Thank you. Welch family.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Question 5, please. What did the crew do to find out who caused the storm?
Now, for that one, I just have 1, 7.
Okay.
It might be
I have 6 and 7.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have 7 and 8.
7 and 8, yeah. That's all I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had 7. So we're going to go with 6, 7, and 8. We're going to see what 6, 7, and 8 did.
Okay. I'll read it starting with 6.
Right.
So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and had caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded, who are you? What is your line of work? And what country are you from? And what is your nationality?
Okay. I agree with that. I have that particular answer myself, 7, but you guys have 6, 7, 8. I agree with that. I like 6, 7, and 8 as an incorporated answer. Yes? No? I agree. Disagree?
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing this together. It's not just me. We're doing this together.
Amen.
Saying, we all add our little pieces to this table, to this plate. Yes. All right. And so when that we conclude that's a satisfactory answer. 6, 7, and 8.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to question 6. Who is at fault for the storm?
I've got chapter 1, verse 12.
I agree with you, my brother.
Okay. And it reads as follows. Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault.
All right.
And
I agree. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Question 7. Who will hear you from the land of the dead?
That's chapter 2, 1 and 2.
Okay. I agree.
It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Amen.
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 Yes. All right. Question 8. Will the Lord drive you from his presence? True or false?
That's 2, 4.
True.
Chapter
okay,
2,
that
verse
is 4. Exactly. I take that. 2, verse 4. And is that a true or false?
True.
True.
Okay, cool. All right. Good answer. All right, we're there. Go with it. Let's hear it.
Then I said, oh, Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple.
I agree.
That was verse 4. Amen.
Amen. Anybody have anything different?
I said it was false because I think that's what Jonah felt like. But I don't think that God really takes us from his presence because it says that once we're with him in his hand, nothing can take us.
Okay. Now, hold on. Hold on right there. We are all putting in our ingredients of trying to make this meal palatable for us all. So I don't have that answer. So we're going to go to our master chef and get that answer. Master Oakley, what's the name of you?
Pastor.
All right, second for us, Ian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I heard the siren call. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about Michael.
The siren call.
I saw a mermaid
siren.
Was outside the window. I was like a mermaid and popped up outside the window. So I heard the flute playing and I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's what Loretta said. Jonah wasn't really feeling like God had pushed him out of his presence, but Jonah understood that he had ran away from God's presence because he's praying to God, so you have to be in the presence of God to be heard. And so he's calling out to God from the belly of the fish.
Oh, wow.
And because of his trying to run away, he ends up inside of this fish. You know, and you can only imagine what that must have been like to try. You tried to commit suicide by shipmate. That didn't work. You hoped when you hit that water you would just drown and die, but that didn't work. God had a plan already prepared. He prepared a fish, swallowed him up, and now he's inside the fish. One thing that Jonah did inside the fish, he went to the Lord's temple. Inside the fish, he went to church. Inside the fish, he had a one-on-one with the Lord. and he won't get out of that fish until you hear him pray these words, I will perform my oaths. In other words, when God told him to go, he said he would, but he went the other way. And now, as soon as he says that, all of a sudden he's up out of the fish. But other than that, he would have been floating around in there for 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. But he did, even though he was in rebellion, even though he was totally left of God, he went to God. He didn't just lay in there despairing and all of that. He went to God. He prayed. He praised God. He repented. He asked God. And then he yielded to God when he said that he would perform his oath. I'll keep my word. And so right after that, he gets spit out on the shore. Can you imagine that? You're full of slime. You slimed up. You got seaweed all over you. And who knows what else that fish been eating. And you're in there with all of that. Can you imagine what it smells like? Really, you on the trash. You in the trash compactor. You know, that was a situation. you floating around in the intestines. We don't know what kind of fish. It could have been a grouper. We don't know what kind of fish it was. Most folks call it a whale because we think, well, a man could live in there, but we've never been inside a whale before. We don't know what it looked like in there. But whatever fish it was large enough for him to stay in there stay alive for 3 days. 3 days and three nights. I bet that was the longest hotel stay in the world. 3 days and three nights. So yeah, it was like Loretta said. He didn't feel like he was out of God's presence. He felt like he was out of God's will. He wasn't where God had him to be, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Lord didn't say anything this whole trip until Jonah started tripping again. I mean, he ends tripping, but then you have to understand when he wrote the book is after this experience. It wasn't why he was sitting out there in the desert mad. So he got past the being mad, and he came to understand that God loves everybody. But anyway, that's the whole story. So anyway, we ain't there yet.
True. Sister Loretta?
Yes?
We commend you on your response. You know, you stepping over us on your virtue, and I thank you.
I appreciate you,
being wrong.
No problem.
I appreciate being wrong, but I accept it because it enhances, I mean, it gives me a little more knowledge. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yep.
But
give
I ain't really
thank you.
Yes, that's true. But I'm really not thanking her, though. I'm just saying thank you because that's the right thing.
You know what?
Okay. Question number 9. What did the Lord do for Jonah?
Yeah, chapter
what?
2, verse 10.
You know what, Patty? I don't know how we got a verse 10.
There's not a 10 on
it. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah,
verse 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I had as well.
Right.
Come on, Dr. Wells, let me hear you.
Look past it. I couldn't even see that one line.
got your glasses.
That's why you got a helmet over there. Your helpmate got you covered. Go ahead, Dr. Welch.
All right. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach.
Amen. Pastor just said it. Yes.
Right. It's those words in verse 9, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. So he knew he was in a situation where he was driven from God's presence because he ran off. He ran off and You know, you know, I don't know how far you're going to run to get away from God, but he ran off. So he wanted to get back into right relationship with God. You know, that was like dying.
Necessary.
And being resurrected on the third day. That's what that was like, because he was there for 3 days. Like Jesus told them folks when they begged for a sign, he said, I'll give you Jonah, the prophet, as a sign. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days.
Oh,
and in
wow.
3 days he came out. He said, the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and then come out. When we hear Jesus mention Jonah, that tells us Jonah happened. Jonah was real. Everything in those four chapters is accurate because Jesus spoke to him.
Wow.
That's why I look at the New Testament. You say the New Testament well, every one of the books of the Old Testament and the prophets all get mentioned. And so that sort of validates them. And that's why Peter writes in 2 Peter, 1:20? That don't think that when the prophets of old wrote that they wrote on their own, but they wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we know it's all the Word of God.
Okay. All righty then, my good brothers and sisters, are we ready to move on?
Yes.
All right, here we go then. Go. Question number 10. This time Jonah blank to show their sorrow.
Is it chapter 3:3?
Okay.
Maybe not.
I know I have 3, but I haven't extended to 3.
He's the 5
extension out there. Okay, that's what I have. 3:5. Yes, 3:5.
Yes, 3:5.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Freeman.
Okay, let me go back to 3.
Okay.
Okay, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Where is my Miss Footnote friend today? I haven't heard her give me a footnote. But the one for Nineveh 3:3, it said about it being a huge city, but then I go down to the bottom of that same footnote, that must say 30 to 60 miles across. But then it was only about 8 miles in circumference. But wait a minute, maybe I better read the whole thing. Nineveh was a huge city. The Hebrew text makes no distinction between the city proper, the walls of which were only about 8 miles in circumference, accommodating a population of about 175,000 persons. In the administrative district of Nineveh, that was 30 to 60 miles across. I'm not getting there. Yeah, but they said it was a very huge place. So, Pastor, can you give us an idea how that worked out?
What you mean, the size
about
of the
big? Yeah, Nineveh. Yeah, about like that. Yeah, a ballpark.
Well,
figure.
What I have here is Nineveh was a very large city. Most probably it is a correct reading. An important city does not suit the context and introduces a note of particular peculiarity into a book where universally it's constantly being impaled. Well, let me skip that part because that just really throws your mind. Okay, the stress on the importance of the size of Nineveh is entirely justified. its population was at least 120,000, while Samaria, almost certainly larger than Jerusalem, had about 30,000. A visit required 3 days. It is literally a distance of 3 days. This could mean that it took 3 days to go either across it or around it. But it certainly does not mean what the NIV rendering might be taken to imply, that it would take 3 days to visit every part of it. Modern archaeology has shown that the inner wall had a length of almost 8 miles. So, okay. Right, so if you got four walls like that, of course, my wife and I walked around Mackinac Island, and that took four-plus hours. So, and that was 9 miles. So if you're talking 8 miles, you're talking about three days to get around it or across it. But not necessarily say to visit everything in it. But if you walked across it, 3 days. If you walked around it, 3 days. In other words, it was a large city. And we know the population because the Lord pointed out 120,000 folks who hadn't even made a choice one way or the other. So, it was definitely a large city. I mean, think about where you live, the city where you live, and how many people live there. And Lincoln Park is like, what, 20, 25,000 people? So think 120,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of room. That's a big city.
Okay, the biggest city. Yeah, okay. All right, I got you now. Thank you.
So he was more than willing to go, though, this time. The Lord put running in his feet.
Yes, he did. He did not hesitate either. Okay.
He didn't necessarily like what he was doing, but he did it. He reminds me of when Jesus asked this question, who is he that did his father's will? Him that said, I will, but didn't, or him that said, I wouldn't, but considered it and then did it. Jonah is that second person. God said, do my will. He said, I will. But he got on the ship going down to Nineveh. I mean, going down to Tarshish.
Wow.
And all of this stuff happened. But then after consideration, after prayer time, he decided, I will. So eventually, even though he did not like it, he did the will of God. Even though he was angry at every person who he saw give in, he didn't get happy when folks decided to believe. He got angry.
Man, thank you for that. What you just said, it's something you just said that I could keep. That it's a piece of that. Thank you. Sincerely,
you're welcome.
You. Yes. Question 11. Yes, thank you. What happened before the decree was sent out to the city?
I have 3-6.
Okay. By itself?
I mean, that's what happened before the decree was sent out. I'm looking at it as far as what did the people do, you know, as far as the animals and stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
go ahead.
Okay. It says, when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent his decree throughout the city.
Okay. You're right. What happened before? You're right. It's just one.
Right. Okay.
Come on, Loretta. I'm loving your answers, but, you know, you're really trying to make me like Boo Boo the Fool tonight.
No.
I'm curious, Eric. Eric, what did you have? Because I had 3-6-2. What did you have?
I had 6 and 7.
Oh.
But then, like she said, I even asked the question before the decree. And I still got it wrong. I had 6 and 7, and 6 was all that was necessary.
But 7, it said, it went
that's
in talking about the decree as well. So,
yep.
But that was
no, 7 is saying, then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. It had not been sent yet. And that's what
right.
my question was.
Before
the decree.
And that was
the yeah, yeah. And Miss Russell's just so attentive, she caught that. Okay, let's
yeah,
go to 12, Miss
yeah.
Russell. Go ahead. I'm going to listen to Sister Freeman. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. I said whoever
okay.
got 6 was right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Miss Russell.
Too. Yeah.
But yeah, she's a professor. She was adamant. What happened before the decree was sent out to the city? Oh, no, we did. I'm sorry. 12. Why is it that God decided not to carry out his destruction threat?
Okay, I've got 3:10.
Good answer, my brother.
Okay. And on top of that, my brother, I will break it down with the footnote to explain that.
All right. We'll
okay.
take that.
And it reads as follows, 3:10. When God saw what they had done and how they put stop to their evil ways,
oh,
he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. 3:10 reads as, this pagan people of Nineveh believed Jonah's message and repented. What a miraculous effect God's words had on those evil people. Their resistance stood in stark contrast to Israel's stubbornness. The people of Israel had heard many messages from the prophets, but they had refused to repent. The people of Nineveh only needed to hear God's message once. Jesus said that at the judgment, the people of Nineveh will stand up to condemn the Israelites for their failure to repent. It is not our hearing God's word that pleases him for our responding obedience to it. Amen. You know, Eric,
amen.
You know, you probably, in your own interpretation, they will get past it. Why did Jonah didn't like the people in Nineveh? I mean, it doesn't.
Nineveh.
Okay. I've always heard the different stories of that Jonah particularly didn't care for the people. Now, for what reason, what he had against them, I don't know. But I know it was always he did not want to go and allow them to get some type of love that he didn't think they should have. He didn't want them to have no love. Sound like, I don't know what he did to him. Pastor O can tell us. I couldn't tell you what he did.
Well, you know, Nineveh was a part of Assyria. And the Assyrians, if you remember, in 722, came and took the Israelites. They were constantly harassing the Israelites, the 10 northern tribes. Okay, because this is who Jonah is dealing with. Okay, he's up in the north. He's up there in Assyria. The Assyrians had a reputation for being experts at torture. And some scholars have supposed that maybe some of Jonah's own family or friends or other Israelites may have been tortured by them because they were constantly being attacked by them. Until finally God gave them power over the 10 tribes in the north, and they went off into captivity. So for that reason, just like the Edomites was gloating over Judah and Benjamin going into captivity when Nebuchadnezzar and them showed up, and even actually went in and helped to loot Jerusalem. And so they were hated as well. And so the Ninevites had probably taken part in activities against Israel, and for that reason, Jonah hated them and wanted them destroyed. But there have been many a scholar to say his family members may have been captured, tortured, made slaves. He had reasons like we have for hating people, and he hated the Ninevites, and he wanted them destroyed. And so he felt like if I don't go, then they're gone. They're wiped out.
They won't be saved.
And my enemies are gone. People I hate is gone. And you know, that's a horrible thing to want God to hurt somebody else for what they did. They did it. Yeah, it was wrong, right? But then we hurt people. Do we want God to do to us the same things we want him to do to other people because of what they did? We have to really be careful with that.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
No,
right.
I mean, Jonah wanted God to destroy. He even wanted the kids and the animals to die. He didn't even care about that. He was so wanting revenge that he didn't even care if the whole city was wiped out. And they all just went straight to hell. And this is a man of God, a prophet, which shows you that no matter what God calls us to do, we can still act crazy.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's a good example.
But usually, as a prophet, they're giving us information of what the Lord said. But in this particular case, Jonah has not given us no kind of information. This whole thing has been about what Jonah didn't do right, or what it ain't nothing about him giving no prediction or anything in this.
He didn't want them saved. He just wanted them. He wanted them punished. He knew how God was, and he knew if you just ask God, if you acknowledge that God is God, and you recognize that you've done wrong, then there's nothing more you can do than that. So God forgives you. Jonah knew God was like that because God forgave him. I mean, he wasn't born perfect. He, as you can see, he got issues, but God's still using him because even though he have issues and he don't like what he's doing, he will still do it. He will deny himself, take up the cross after getting out the fish, and then follow Jesus. He needed some convincing. Now, look how much mercy God had on him. He could have killed him in the fish or could have just let him drown in that water in the storm. But he did.
Yeah.
He gave Jonah another chance. And Jonah prayed, and God listened and had mercy on him, spit him out the fish, and now he right back at it. He right back at it. Get the call, and he's angry. He's letting the Lord know, I ain't happy about this. I hate them people, and I want them dead. Like with Sarah pre-Sunday. Rejection. We judge people based on their sin. He was rejecting all 120,000 of them based on their sin. He didn't see that these people, if offered a chance to believe in God, would believe.
Mm-hmm.
He knew God would receive them, but I don't think he wanted them to actually respond positively to his message. I think he wanted them to ignore him and be pagan. But when the king came off the throne and everybody else had to prostrate themselves before the Lord, humble themselves, and you know what the Lord said, if you humble yourself before me, what will I do? Lift you up. Now, if you study their history of the Assyrians, this group made it. But then there came another group who was just as evil as the group before them, and so they still ended up wiped out. But these folks repented. But later on, Assyria would go right back to doing what they were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But we have to be careful about that, because what we do when we don't want to forgive somebody else is we belittle the forgiveness God had for us, or we think we should have been forgiven. No, we are just as ratchet as anybody else. You take Jesus out your life, you're going straight to hell. I don't care what kind of Christian you think you are. You get rid of Jesus, you're going straight to hell. I don't care how many Bible classes you teach, how many sermons you preach, how many churches you pastor or bishop in. Okay, you take Jesus out, you're going straight to hell. The only reason you're going to heaven is because of Jesus. If we could keep that in our heads, and if we could just remember why he saved us and how he just gave us salvation, and then we're going to turn around and be hard on somebody else. Need to read Matthew 18, verses 22 to 35. That'll fix you up. When you get to the end of that, when you get to verse 35, and you hear the Lord say, unless you forgive men from your hearts, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you when you sin against them. If we can't forgive people who sin against us, then I don't know what makes us think that God's going to forgive us when that means is, it doesn't mean we're going to hell. What it means is we end up like Jonah. We're not happy. We're not feeling blessed. We're not feeling forgiven. We're not feeling guilt-free. We're not feeling like there's no condemnation. We're still feeling it. Why? Because we want to be mad at them. And as long as we're mad at them, Jesus made it clear that as long as if you don't forgive, then neither will in your heart, Father in heaven forgive you. And what's worse is we throw away our prayer life. If we have a problem with somebody, Jesus say, go fix it. And then come pray to me. So we got to be careful. See, Satan wants to trick you out of having that comfort of being forgiven, and he wants to trick you out of having a prayer life. And all he has to do is make somebody do something to you that he know you ain't going to forgive them for. And you're going to be like Jonah, willing to give up your prayer life and your peace so you can be mad at this crazy human being.
Yeah.
Who was crazy enough to do the thing that made you that mad. I wish I would give up my prayer life or the comfort of knowing that God forgives me when I ask for it. Because he know I don't hold nothing against nobody. That's out. Devil ain't playing me like that. And Jonah, even though this great revival has happened in Assyria, watch how this thing ends. Let's see if he revival happy. Okay, my sermon over.
Wow. Okay, Pastor, we're going to go to question 13. Is that right, my good brothers and sisters?
Yes, sir.
Why would Jonah say, kill me now?
I had 3:10 and 4:1-3.
I have the 4:1-3.
I know you had it for question 12, but the reason I said that is because it shows how merciful the God is, and that Jonah was angry because of God's mercy. And I was just adding God's mercy to that part to show why Jonah was angry.
Okay. God saw with
it. And I said, let me read it for you. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive and what I predicted will not happen.
Okay. I can buy that.
I just added that because it told you why Jonah was angry. And
how you accumulated the anger.
Right. Why he was angry and what he did and what he said because he was angry.
I buy it. I don't have a problem with it. I can buy it. It's
okay.
Very palatable to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
3:10 fitted to question 12, and it fitted in for 13 to me.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it. I'm good. Anybody? Let me see.
Anybody have something?
Why is it that God has an experience? Okay. Yeah, I'm good with it. All right.
Is there a footnote on that?
Let's see.
There is four footnotes, 1 and 2, and then they got 2 times up. They did it for 3.
It was 4:1 is why did, and 4:1-2 reveals the reason why he was so reluctant.
Right.
Four three, Jonah had run from the job of delivering God's message, and Jonah may have been more concerned about his own reputation than God. Okay. Yeah, well, there's a few of them that can be read, Pastor.
Hey, let me read this. There can be little doubt that when Jonah asked God to take away his life, there is much more in what Jonah said than lies on the surface. He was virtually saying to God, I have devoted my life to your service as your servant, as your prophet. But what have I experienced of you that does not make sense of the world order in which I find myself? Why should I go on living? For to leave your service would make my life purposeless. Once in the past, you showed Elijah that there was a deeper purpose in life than he realized. Have you perhaps a similar message for me? In other words, Jonah just couldn't understand God. He just didn't get it. He just couldn't. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God hates evil. God avenges all evil deeds, as Romans 12 tells us. Avenges is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And Jonah was dead set on that vengeance happening.
Right.
But then the people all repented. And so God didn't change his mind. The people changed their ways. If my father says to me, if you don't stop hitting on that window, I'm going to knock your head off. Well, I stop hitting on the window, he ain't going to get up and knock my head off. And somebody say, why you ain't knock his head off? Because he stopped knocking on the window. And so they decided we're going to do exactly what the Lord said. And see, here's how you know they truly repented and it wasn't a fake repentance, because God recognized it. It says here that the Lord recognized it, and God just said, okay, well, there's nothing to punish here. But Jonah wasn't. Are we like, that's the question. How many of us want God to have unlimited mercy and kindness toward us, but then kill everybody else? How many of us are like Jonah? We get mad because, like, how many folks are so racist they want white people to go to hell? You know what I mean? I mean, what have racism? Has racism made us say, like Jonah, no, Lord, don't forgive them. They ain't never give us our 40 acres of the mule, and we still don't have the right civil rights. We just got some kind of rights. You know, how many of us are that angry that we want God to kill people, kill a whole race of people because of what some people in that race did?
No.
I mean, if God was really going to take out some people in the 8th and 9th district over in Detroit, they're having to focus down on crime. And guess who lives there? And guess who they're doing crime to? Each other. That is us. We are so violent in our neighborhoods that the Detroit Police Department is putting a special effort on the 8th and 9th districts to root out crime. And who lives there? Who's committing all that crime? And yet we want God to go punish another race of people for what some of the race of people did to us. This is Jonah.
Wow.
So how many of us are like Jonah? How many of us know God is merciful, God is kind, God is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and compassionate and merciful? And then we look at these people we hating on and wishing Jesus would do something to them, but I didn't come to do that. I came to save. I came to give my life a ransom for many. Like Sarah preached Sunday, rejection. Jesus came to save the woman at the well. Everybody else had treated her so badly, she had to sneak out to the well to get water when wasn't nobody there. Because she came at a time, and you know, the Israelites would have to go and get water 2, 3, 4 times a day because they didn't have running water in their houses. She made her way out there in the hottest part of the day when nobody was most likely to be there because of her ganky reputation. But Jesus didn't treat her like she had a bad reputation. Jesus didn't treat her like she had 5 husbands and the one she with ain't hers. Okay, he only told her that to let her know, I'm somebody. And when he told her that, if you notice the conversation, she didn't say, oh, snap, he know my business. No, she just dismissed that completely and said, we know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything. She didn't even respond to him saying, you got 5 husbands and that guy you got in your crib? No, well, that ain't your husband. She said, uh-oh. She pushed right past, how you know that, and all that kind of nonsense. And she said, we know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything. And she recognized that he knew everything because you know my business. All these other people just gossiping. But you know. And
you know all about
and Jesus. And Jesus said, I am he. Now, everybody else, Jesus told, keep your mouth shut about who I am. Don't reveal it till after my resurrection. He didn't tell her that. And she went back to that town. Now, what if Jesus had ignored her? The people's lives in Samaria was changed because he didn't ignore her. He didn't charge, he didn't judge her according to her sin, even though he knew what it was. But he saw
her. Those two type of people didn't get along, right?
No, Jews and Samaritans, not at all. They was like, Samaritans were the people who, remember when they got ganked up out the land and went to Babylon? Well, they left the remnant there. That remnant married people outside the race of the Jews, and they became Samaritans. And so they were half-breeds.
Okay.
And so they didn't like them.
Okay.
Even though they created
okay.
them, they didn't like them. You liked me when you, in other words, when you was making these babies, you liked me. But now all of a sudden you don't like me, you know. But anyway, this lady, Jesus saw in her more than her sin. And that's what I learned from him. I don't look at people for their sins because that's too easy to find. They're human. They got them. Stare at them 2, 3 minutes. You'll see it. Okay? But what I look for, the diamond in the rough. Jesus died for them. He went to the cross for them. What was it about them that caused him to say, not my will, but thy will be done? That's what I look for. It's too easy to see sin. I mean, everybody's sin. But can you see a woman? Would you have saw this woman at the well and knew that she was going to go and evangelize a whole town by herself and convince a town who knew her ganky reputation to follow her to Jesus?
To believe.
Right.
And wow. Jesus, you know, and the statement was made that they came out because the people said it. We came out because of your excited testimony about come see a man who told me everything I ever did. But we believe
right.
because we've heard him for ourselves.
Yes.
How many people have yes. we brought to Jesus to hear so they could believe because they heard him for themselves? See, that lady, we would have just trashed her out because she had five husbands and the one she was with was somebody else. That's all we would have seen. But Jesus saw Billy Graham in her.
Okay. Ooh.
He saw an evangelist. I mean, think mm-hmm. about it. How you get time. Time, you set your clock to the stopwatch part, your phone, and then read mm-hmm. that conversation, and you'll see how long it took Jesus to turn her into that kind of evangelist.
Mm.
And she, you know, apparently she was a Bible student because she said, we know when Messiah come, he'll tell us everything. So she knew the prophecies. Ain't this something? The Pharisees didn't know or recognize him. Herod didn't know or recognize him. And I don't even expect the Romans to. The Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians, none of them. But this woman. Or the three wise men from the east who were stargazers. They come looking for the whole nation of Israel is blind, but these people come from the east who stare at stars looking for omens in the sky. They know the Messiah is coming. This woman goes and evangelizes a whole town based off that conversation. That conversation was less than 15 minutes. And Jesus turned her into that kind of evangelist. How long have we been in church, and how many people have we brought to Jesus? Like this woman who sat with Jesus in one Bible class for that length of time, and somehow she went back to her hometown with her ganky attitude, with her ganky reputation, and brought all those people to Jesus. And we have a reputation of going to church every Sunday, sitting on them pews, chewing and doing, uh-oh. Right? And how many people have we brought like that to Jesus? Wow. See, that kind of stuff challenges me. It challenges me every single day. That's why I know y'all already saved, and I be sending out that stuff. I know y'all saved. I want you to use it. I want you to share Christ. Because when you send them things out, you have no idea how many people believed in Jesus that day. And when you get to heaven, then you get rewards for those folks that you led to Jesus. Okay, like Tony Evans preached last Sunday, all of us going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done yeah. in this body, whether good or bad. All of us going to go. You should have heard his sermon last Sunday. It was so awesome. It was good. But anyway, that's the end of that sermon.
All right. Well.
Okay.
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 Hold on. We're on question number
14.
Yeah, I apologize. Thank you, Pastor O, for that breakdown.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, indeed.
You're welcome. Y'all get me all excited and twisted up, so thank y'all.
Okay, question 14. What happened on the east side of town, Jonah?
East
is
side?
It 4-8?
Hold it. Go ahead. Anybody else?
I got 5 and 6.
Okay. Anybody else?
5 and 6.
We can see what 8. I had 5 and 6 as well. But let's first see what 8 says, since you gave us 8. Let's hear 8, my sister.
Okay, I said, for number 8, it said, I mean, verse 8, it says, and the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is currently better than living like this, he exclaimed.
Okay. Now, my sister Welch. Professor Welch, let's see your response, please. Okay, I see five up there, too.
Gentleman went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was grateful for the plant. Amen.
I'm going with 5 and 6, Mr. Freeman. Now, 8, it's the same part of 6 where it says about that leaf. Oh, no, but that's the one with a worm pen, isn't it?
Right.
No? And the sun grew hot. Oh, yeah, the worm was fire pen. Yes, the sun grew hot and grew. Yeah, I have to go with 5 and 6 on this one. Okay. Question 15. Why should the Lord feel sorry for Nineveh?
I've got chapter 4, 9, and 10.
Okay. And let's hear 9 and 10.
Okay. Then the Lord said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah
retorted,
even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly.
Okay.
But Nineveh has more than 100,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Didn't I feel sorry for such a great city?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 9 through 11.
Okay.
9 through 11. I mean, excuse me, 9 through 11. I had to add that little.
Okay, now we do it. So that was going to incorporate the rest, but yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
There we go. I can go with all of that.
Yeah, okay.
So that concludes Obadiah and Jonah. And is there any questions that y'all may have for Pastor O?
No, not really. Just lets us know we're no different than how Jonah was and how we act towards people.
Oh, yeah. We have our dislikes, like you sit in the church and look at somebody, I don't even like them. You ain't got no reason for not liking them if you don't like them.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it ain't got to be a church. You could be a neighbor 3 doors away, you know, for what? And then you find out after you talk to them 2 or 3 times, like, okay, you ain't bad as I thought you were.
Right.
I've learned not to go by what people like. Just say if I was a partner with you and, well, I don't like her, I've learned not to go with just because somebody didn't work with them, it don't mean they won't work with me.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while for that. At jobs, you go to a job, man, don't be careful around that guy. I tell you, you can get in trouble working with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to have your own mind.
Mm-hmm. I used to tell the kids a lot of times when you get mad and you get angry and you're holding things against somebody else, the only person that you're hurting is yourself.
Because
it's always on your mind, and that other person may be going off, not even thinking about you having a good time, and you the one at home holding the grudge and messing up your life.
Right.
Mm.
Learn to forgive.
Right.
Forgive.
You know what? It's real. I was told that when I was going through my divorce. They say, Eric, I don't know what you felt. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're angry at her, If you see her, apologize about whatever may have happened in your divorce, and then go ahead on. Don't have it. Yeah. Don't feel like, excuse the word, don't feel like you know chump because you doing it. You clear your way. You having a like you just said, I'm carrying a grudge, and she may be in Cancun with her new friend, not caring nothing about what happened.
Now, what happened? And you at home making yourself sick and tearing up yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Miserable for no reason.
Learn to forgive.
But,
yes, Lord.
Obadiah, he was doing, he was a guy, he stuck by them. He made sure that everything worked out. I like that. And Jonah did what he had to do after a while to make sure everything worked out, even though he still got angry.
Yeah.
But that's it. Pastor O, let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, yeah. Jonah, you know, you're right. Obadiah, he let the Edomites know. And, you know, they was like cousins. These is Esau's kids, right? Jacob and Esau's kids fighting each other. And the Edomites was gloating. They was happy when the Israelites got tore up, you know. And people are like that. They get happy when they see something bad happen to you. But God told them, okay, you happy right now, and you joined in their dilemma, okay, and had your fun. Well, guess what? I'm wiping y'all off the planet. And all of them ites, they're gone. All of those. And,
right.
And that ought to be a lesson to all the people in the world. To, you know, Israel, they're God's people. Okay, we know the ones who have accepted Christ, if the rapture happened now, they would all go to heaven, and the majority of the nation would be left here. But they are God's people, and I would just leave them to him, okay?
Yeah.
And when people sin against you, like the Ninevites, you know, had suffered, like the Ninevites had heaped it onto the Israelites, and, you know, the Edomites is going off on the the Israelites. These are God's people, and they're messy.
Yeah.
And like Sarah say, they dusty, but they're God's people, right? They're running around looking like pig pen, got dust bouncing off, but they're God's people, you know?
Yeah.
And so other people could see your kids acting all kinds of crazy and want to kill them, but then those are your kids. And see, your aim is to make them better. Other people's aim is to punish. Okay, retribution. That's not God. God wants repentance so he can bless. That's the only reason he gets involved with us when we go left. It's because we've positioned ourselves in a way, in a situation, in a position he can't bless us. And so he wants us back in the position where he can bless us. So he can cause everything to work together for our good. Not have to cause everything to work together to get us back to the crib like the prodigal son. Or come find us like the lost sheep and bring us home because we're just too stupid to get back. Or we sit right up in the house, lost. We in the house, lost. We have value, but because we're lost, we're valueless. It's ridiculous. But God's deal is restoration. And he proved that the Ninevites, the Assyrians were evil. They were horrible people, okay? But then when you do what the Lord tells you to do and you repent and God see in your heart you really have, then he forgives. He forgives, you know? And he literally forgives and forgets. He don't bring it up. I will remember your sins no more. And when we confess our sins, you notice the movement. We confess. That means in the Greek, we agree with God. And then the next move is forgiveness. Next move, cleansing. The next move, our move is to confess. His move, immediately forgive. His move, immediately cleansing. And you don't even want to talk about the past. You just want to go clean. Let's go forward. I don't know how to go backward. If y'all know anything about horses, our father is a Tennessee walker. He will not go backwards. He does not go backwards. There was this horse we had over in Canada named Danny Boy, and if you put him in a tight situation where he had to back up, you had yourself a problem because he was not going to go backwards. That just wasn't going to happen. Okay, unless you could really, really ride and really wanted to go through something, get your legs scraped against the fence or whatever, you push forward, you just go backwards. But he would go forward, though. He was kind of crazy horse. You just couldn't keep him corralled. He would walk right into an electrified fence and just walk through it. You know, you are different. Yeah, because they had to put this little electric line around. They'd give him a little shock. But him, you could give him a good shock, and he'd just walk right through it, eating people's grass, you know, walked off the ranch in somebody's yard eating their grass. But anyway, yeah, we don't want to be like that. We want to be like God. We don't want to gloat when other people are getting, you know, their comeuppance, as the Edomites did over Israel. And at the same time, we don't want to be like Jonah, that when people repent, that's more important to God than sending somebody to hell or putting somebody through it. Our sin will put us through it. Period.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to worry about it. If they sinned, and God knows that they sinned, they better repent, or they're going to run into God's law. The law is already set, and they're going to run right into it. So the best thing to do is to, like the Lord says over in Romans chapter 12, and this is a really important subject. I want you guys to hear this because the devil be tricking people and making them play God. But listen to this and listen to the flow. Now, this is chapter 12, verse 17 to the end. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Can I read that again? I'm going to do it anyway. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And we know that everything God told us to do is good, and that is the good that he's talking about, not some good we made up, but it is good. So remember that. Jonah would have done well to, he say he knew God would forgive. Well, if you knew God would forgive, then you should have been like God. Forgiving. Okay. You don't want to be like mad Jonah because that gets you nowhere. You want to be like God. 120,000 new souls that would have went to hell. Now they're saved because of reluctant preaching of Jonah. Okay. As for announcements.
Hey, hold on, Pastor. Hold on for a minute. Them burning coals of shame on their head. Giving them a whole bunch of love, right?
That's when they'll feel like, you remember Tony Evans' father used it on his wife. Tony Evans' father got saved, his wife didn't. But he became a man that she almost didn't even know anymore, okay? And he was kind to her, and she was very bitter to him. It was so bitter that he had to get up in the middle of the night to study the Bible. And one night she came down the steps and thought, oh, well, here's on again. Here she come with that. And she came down and she told him that you're different. I want what you have because it's real. And so his wife got saved, and that led to Tony Evans, Anthony, Priscilla. I keep forgetting the other girl. She's going to be like, you don't never remember me. You know my brothers and other sisters. But anyway, amen. Anyway. That's God's way is to, like the Lord is. People are evil. Have you noticed how evil people are today? But do you know God still bring the sun up every morning?
Yeah.
He still bring the moon out every night. Even though we're polluting the entire planet, he still make oxygen enough for us to breathe and not kill ourselves.
Thank you.
I mean, he's still making food. I mean, there was a drought last year in California, and they were about to be wiped out. But I'm sure Christians prayed, okay, and God heard.
Yeah.
And now they have lakes that wasn't there 20 years ago. It dried up, and now it's back. And the drought is gone. Lake Mead and Lake Powell and the Colorado River and the Mississippi is all back at regular levels from its flood stage, but they got it back. And they have more water in the mountains coming down. All of that is God's kindness. And how will they act? Will they respond to God in a right way, or will they just go right back to the evil they were doing that probably brought the drought on in the first place? So, yeah, God is super kind and super good, and he wants us to be like him. And when we do good and they're doing evil, God says that that pricks their consciences. It makes them feel bad. Tony Evans' father's wife felt bad because the way she treated him. And so his being kind to her and showing love and her showing hate back, well, that was like putting burning coals on her head, and it got to her. And she wanted what he had. Do people want your Christianity? When people find out you're a Christian, know you're a Christian, do they want to be like you? Do they see you as somebody who Christianity is working for? And they say, you know, I was thinking about becoming a Christian, and when I look at the way you live your life and how it's working for you, I want it to work for me. Even when you go through stuff, it's like you're going through nothing. Even when your refrigerator was empty that time, you had plates and forks set on your table like somebody was going to bring you food. You weren't even worried. That's the kind of Christian that God wants people to see. He wants to see Christians who can sing praises to God at midnight in the Philippian jail after being beat and give praises to God at a time like that. And if you read after that, the prisoners got saved. The jailer and his family got saved. And God had the people who unjustly locked them up come and escort them out of town. But that's all because rather than hanging their heads and wondering if God loved them or if he was punishing them for some sin, they sang praises to God at midnight because he was worthy of praise even though they were in that situation. The jail got tore up and everybody got saved. I know the jailer was like, you know, I love being saved, Jesus, but this was my job. You done tore up my jail. But anyway, you know, I mean, that's reality, right? His jail all tore up. And I bet you he told the rest of his jail buddies, look, if one of them Christians come through y'all town, do not put them in your jail. Because if they put them in your jail, they start singing, you're going to be unemployed like me. So, yeah. Because they got it.
Thank you for that. Well, I needed that. Even with my little crane, I needed that.
So, anyway. Sarah Tate will be preaching Saturday. I know she just preached last Sunday, but then she was on schedule Saturday, so she'll be back Saturday. And Pastor Janice Tate will be holding it down Sunday as we bring Women of God Month to an end. Cool. You know, it's an awesome thing. I've had a lot of time to pretty much just be off, and I haven't had this kind of time in a long time to not have to prepare sermons. Yeah.
Yeah, you need it.
Yeah, because it gets you a little crazy. You know, you get to going and going and going and going and going and don't stop. You get a little crazy. But like I say, I get tired from it sometimes, but I never get tired of doing it. I wake up doing it.
Yeah, Lord.
Okay, if you know somebody who needs a... If y'all know anybody who needs a class book, we have 5 student books left. So I need one. They'll be in church on Sunday.
Okay, I want one.
And so that means there's 4 left. Well, there's 3 left because
Leeches. Hold on.
One of them belongs to a Leeches Scholar.
If I don't make it, I still want one, please. But I'm gonna try
not
to get
problem.
There.
It ain't gonna. I'm gonna keep. Make sure. I'm gonna make sure you get it.
Okay. Thank you.
Pastor, is that the one you gave me?
The green ones, yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay.
See, some people are not on my email list, and it just works a lot better if they have the book. But then there's also a link under Bible class where they can get the book themselves. I put a link there where they can order it themselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, if anybody need to be on my email address, just email me at revgmo@comcast.net. If you didn't get that, it's on the church website and on my website.
Okay.
Just click on contact on either one of those sites. Okay, and coming up next week, we are going to have, don't miss Friday. I can't miss Friday. How did I get past Friday? Bring back the family this Friday. Bring back the family, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Come in. We have a lot, they have a lot on there. I mean, last week was full of job opportunities, community helps, all kinds of things, and these are the things that our kids need and adults. So they have all kinds of stuff on there, especially for the youth. And don't forget, I think during the 27th, 28th, right over there by New Mount Hermon Church, I think it's Gleason. Yeah. Where Mark Twain School used to be, that's now going to be Eden Park or something like that. They're going to have 2 days of everything. They're going to bounce houses, music, food, medical stuff, everything. Celebrating veterans, everything. It's going to be a big old giant party for 2 days, the 27th to 28th. You ain't got nothing to do, bounce on over there. I will be up at the waterfront. Doing the Memorial Day service.
Okay.
Doing the prayer.
They
get me up there every year to do invocation up at Dingle Park on 4th Street. Jefferson. So we'll be up there probably Monday, the holiday.
Okay.
Yeah, Memorial Day. Yeah.
Okay.
I always go. They usually have me up there for Christmas, July, for that. And then when they light the Christmas trees. And don't forget to pray for Elder Joseph Stevens. Eric knows they were actually roommates.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gasson, and Ed Johnson, and our teacher. Keep our teacher Eric Reed in your prayers, too.
Yeah.
And Darius Freeman.
Thank you.
Always. Yeah, so they can get that phone call. And get that all fixed up.
Yes.
And we can.
That works.
All hail King Darius. Amen. I love that, man. All hail King Darius. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's some awesome stuff. And all the mothers on the move and the peanut butter and jelly on your shelf. Okay, don't forget them. Amen. And peanut butter and jelly need prayer too.
Thank you.
Okay, who's good? I think Kathy is up. No, Rebecca is up next. Rebecca is up with Micah, chapters 1 through 70, 1 through 7. So she'll be up next week with Micah, chapters 1 through 7.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I think I'm announced out. Baby Holy Ghost have left the room. That must be it for that.
All righty then. I want to thank everybody for giving me their time and extending their time to me, not just to me personally, but to everybody inputting as they did. And for all the people, our listeners, we thank you for giving us your time as well, and we appreciate you. And we ask that you tell others about it so maybe they can pitch in on some of our, let's just say, our humor. But at this time, we're going to pray out, and we thank you again, and we wish peace and love to you all. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. We're here today to read your word that you gave us, and that
it was available for us to be able to read. It wasn't in the past. We thank you for it because we can get it on by voice. We can get it in Braille, and we can actually read it. We thank you for all those possibilities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job. Good work. Good class. Good discussion. Discussion is good. You know, Bible class, this is the only place we can do this. We can't talk and ask questions. Well, you know, at Run of Christ, we do actually talk back to the preacher. But we are sure enough participation church, I'm telling you. You actually get to talk back on Sunday. But in Bible class, you get to have discussion and question. And that's what I like about this. And so it was good. Discussion was good. And I think we ferreted out a lot about Jonah and about some of the things that might be about us. Don't forget to invite somebody to church on Sunday. Every Sunday, invite one person to church, 10 people. It's up to you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God keep you. Amen. Life gets brighter when it's bright for two.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you. Use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me. Cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me. Cause I'm giving all of my best. The truth in me, you light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, cause you're giving everything I need. Oh, this little light of mine, God, you keep it burning.